Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the 150K team. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jan.
So I thought before we ask you about your particular experience, I might just give a very brief overview of what the 150K team is for people who might not be up to speed yet. First of all, I'd point people to, we had a great discussion last week on Good News Updates, kicking off this year's Bridgewalk season, the 16th annual Bridgewalk, and the 150K team is the central theme of the Bridgewalk this year, which is a team that we're building to raise $150,000 for the program this year. So it's really, really fun and exciting. And I would point people to the website, thelivingcompassion.org. If you go to the Africa section, and then at the top, you'll see a number of tabs. And I think it's the first tab on the left that's how to participate. And the first option there is describes the 150K team. And so lots of information and how to get involved and all of that is in it. And so what we're doing is we're inviting people to build teams, and anyone who builds a team and commits to raising at least $500 for the project is part of the 150K team. And so I think you're on tonight to talk to us about your participation and kind of what you saw about jumping in and how you're going about building your team.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, first of all, that it didn't drop in right away. I heard the announcement, and I just it was just like, there was nothing there. But I've learned over the years, wait for it, you know.
love it.
And I even went to the website because I knew I was going to sign up, but I just didn't, have anything, how you could feel it or anything. And it's like, I got to have a name. I don't have a name for my team, And so it didn't happen right away. So I just want to say that as an encouragement for people to just wait for the inspiration. It will come. And so what happened was I was talking to my daughters this weekend. And it actually dropped in just a little before I was on the phone with them that I thought, oh, my gosh, this would be so fun to do this with them. And, I've kind of gotten to know a bunch of their friends over the years. They are really cool 30-somethings kind of people that I don't have a lot of opportunities to hang out with and do stuff with. And I thought this would be a great way to participate in something fun together.
I love everything about what you said so far. That's so great. I mean, first of all, just that piece of what a glorious training that we all have in practice to, first of all, you want to participate because that's where the fun is, right? That's where life is. But there's no idea there. But there's no like, then I need to go to conditioned mind to come up with it. Something will drop in, and then it does.
And it does.
Yeah,
well,
and
the beautiful thing is it continues to unfold. So, for example, I came up with the team name for the love of it. Or I don't know, I didn't come up with it. It dropped in, but I just immediately thought, that's not a very good name. So I asked my daughter, here's the name I came up with, but what do you think? You're much better at this than I am. And she said, I love that name, it was just all the encouragement I needed. But here's one thing I wanna point out, because I was looking at what this can really be. I mean, $500 is not a huge amount of money for 20 people, right?
Exactly.
In fact, it's not even a huge amount of money for 10 people, we could pull that off ourselves, probably, most of us.
Exactly.
But it's so much fun, and it is such an opportunity to be in relationship with people in a way that we don't often do. And by that, I mean, I love my kids. I love all of them, everyone, all three of them. But there's only, we don't have that many, I'm not that into Game of Thrones or, you know, fantasy football or whatever they're into. And they certainly aren't, you know, all that into meditation and vegetarian cooking and things that I'm into, you know. But here is an opportunity that we have. Is it Game of Thrones? Is that what it's called? Anyway, you know what I mean. This TV
I
show.
No, I don't know. Actually,
yeah, I'm talking to the wrong person. Anyway, but here's an opportunity that we can all really get pumped about.
Exactly.
I mean, I shared the pictures, you know, that Teresa sends, and they always just love them. And, you know, so it's like it's something that lights everybody up, and it's a way that we can participate in something together.
Yeah, it's so perfect. Gosh, exactly. Because, you know, there are people in our lives who we love, and we don't necessarily have a lot of overlap in terms of, you know, what we spend our time doing and those sorts of things. But what an amazing way, in my experience, participating with someone on a project, or for lack of a better word, but something like this, where together we care about something and together we're accomplishing something. There's something about that way of being with people that's so much, it's so satisfying and so heart-opening in a way that sort of, quote, hanging out really doesn't tend to be.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And I suspect it's going to be in a portal. Now, time will tell, but I think it'll be a portal to a deeper appreciation of each other's life. You know, for example, y'all are offering Zoom calls with the Africa folks. You're offering weekly support calls with, you know, to that. I mean, and the way I put it in my email is, it'll give you a taste of what group at the monastery is like if you're curious, you know.
And I know people
are curious, but they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't ask, or they, you know, they wouldn't have the opportunity to like, you know, really experience it. Most of those folks in the group that I'm talking about, and so here's a way they can maybe just, you know, get a look at my world a little bit if they want, you know, and. And it's just, I don't know, it's just such a bridge builder. You know, we use that image a lot when we talk about the bridge walk and, you know, across the continents and all that. But it's a bridge builder within our relationship, too.
That's a beautiful connection. Wow. Because that really has been my experience as well. I loved how you were talking about the ideas dropping in, because that's been completely my experience that, you know, as this idea started to formulate itself and then really filling out, and then for me personally, seeing all these ways that even when the idea came up as an idea for the organization hadn't come up, and they just keep dropping in. And I love that place of, you know, so probably one of the folks you're talking about isn't going to sign up for Reflective Listening Buddies or isn't going to, you know, come to a loosely fit group or that sort of thing. But if they do come to these support calls, they will get exactly an experience of what we all love so much about practice.
Yeah, that is so good. That's such a good point. They'll get an experience of it, you know, and even just being, I mean, I had so much fun drafting the email that I sent out to them after I talked to my daughters, our list just grew because they had friends and we just thought of different people and all of my nieces and nephews and, you know, it was just, so the list grew to really long, you know, and now I forgot where I was going with that. I project that even reading the email, they're going to have an experience of that because that's the process that I was in and we are in from y'all conceiving, maybe conceiving isn't even the right verb for the idea, but, you know, it's just, as you've been saying, it's all dropping in all along. So if that's the process we're in, then that's what people experience, whether they realize it or not. That's another thing, but that's what it actually is.
That's another beautiful point, and that it really, what that does is it just simply extends a hand to anyone who might, you know, have a propensity in that direction and not even realize it, right? It's a very sort of non-threatening way to participate. And just the other thing I love about what you're saying is that, you know, so I realize my team is huge. Well, I can set whatever fundraising goal I want to set.
Right? Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can decide. In the email, I changed it from a goal of 500 to, I think I said, a minimum of 500. You know, so it was like, we can go
exactly.
As high as we want.
Yeah, right, because this daughter could be a team and that daughter could be a team, or we could all, I mean, there's so many ways to do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
There was one other thing that I just wanted to add, because it was so pleasant. As I was looking at this fundraising year, the focus, it made me kind of look at years past, and I remembered some of the fundraisers that I did even before I moved to the monastery, and it was so pleasing and so much fun to even remember. And I just wanted, could I throw out a couple of the ideas?
Yes,
just to kind of,
I was just saying, I hope we're going to have a forum somewhere, somehow, maybe in the support calls, to share ideas like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because recently Sherry said, and I can't remember what call, but it was something like, there's so many ways to make money. You know, there's so many ways.
Yeah.
And, boy, there was a day when I would not have understood that or believed that, you know.
Right.
But so one year I did a fun food Africa fundraiser, I think is what I called. And it was when I was trying to eat better in my own life. I was trying to transform my eating habits. And I thought, if I make a menu and plan the meals and I cook for someone else, I know I'll eat better. So I sent an email around to people that lived in a certain radius of me, and I said, I'm raising money for Africa, and I'll make dinner for your family on Sunday nights if you want to sign up for this meal. And I would deliver, I would cook it for myself, and they would choose menu they wanted, and I would deliver it to their home and transfer it to their dishes and everything, their pots and pans, and they would make a donation to Africa for, you know, and it helped me eat the way I wanted to eat, get the word out about Africa, and just so much fun, you know. So that was one of them. And one other year, I was moving for some reason. Oh, I think I was changing schools. My son was changing schools. And I didn't and I just sent an email out to folks that said, look, I'm moving, and I'm going to pay some movers about $1,000 to come and move me. If you want to do a really good thing and help a bunch of kids in the process, I'll donate that money to Africa if you'll come and help me move, and you be the laborer. We all be the laborer. I'll provide the pizza, and y'all, you know, at that point my son had a bunch of healthy, strong, strapping young teenage friends, you know. So that was one other way. You know, so it's just like,
and you did it?
Like
they,
that.
People,
yeah.
People came
oh,
to,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That
people
is,
loved
oh my
it.
God.
People loved it. We had so much fun, and I put pictures. I, you know, printed out pictures of the kids, you know, and it was just a big deal.
Brilliant.
You know, so just things like that.
Brilliant. All right, we're gonna have you on every week, Rebecca, until the campaign ends.
Well, it's fun, and as you can tell from my voice, I feel very lit up right now. So anyway, thank you for having me. It was
thank you so much for being on. It's just it's endless the fun that we can have with this. Yeah. So many, many thanks for being on, and more soon.
More soon. Right. Okay. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Rebecca. And Ashwini, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini. Seems very strange to say good afternoon, Ashwini.
Exactly.
I'm so used to saying good morning, Ashwini.
Yes.
It seems like we've done this before today. Yeah.
Well,
was that one of the most fun and inspiring conversations you've ever heard?
Oh, my God. I think Rebecca needs to be interviewed and give us more ideas about how to do fun. Every year, what did you do? And go out and do them. Oh, my God. That was just... Amazing. I mean, it's so creative, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I would never think of that. Truly.
No, none of it.
Yeah. None of it.
Oh.
None of it. Yeah, and it's just so fun to watch. I mean, I have a different view of people signing up for this project. I think right now we have about $17,000 already pledged.
Oh my
and
goodness.
We're only 2-3 days, only a week into the campaign. So we're hoping that people just don't hesitate and join the fun.
Yeah.
And think of it, I think the way the challenge is worded is, how will this be fun for you? It's got to be fun. Make it fun. Not something that you feel you have to do, you should do, you must do, you're compelled to do, or going up against voices to do, but just what's the fun in it? And I just love that attitude of mind that Rebecca was pointing to in all the ways she did it, right? It was just so fun.
Well, and it was such a no self and other, right? So she's going to cook. It helps her change her eating, and then she makes it available to other people. She's going to move anyway, right? And that, so that money was gonna go somewhere. And it's just so creative and fun.
And to me, it's not asking for money. It's asking for participation, which is what I thought was brilliant in both of those things.
Uh-huh.
It's offering something and having people participate in something. And there isn't that commercial, whatever makes people feel weird about money doesn't seem to come up when you say, come over and help me move. And I'll donate the funds to Africa. I mean, that's just psychologically so brilliant. I can't get over it.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I wish I were moving. Oh, no, that's not the part.
But I bet this Sangha could come up with a dozen ways to do that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. And maybe people will send them in. So even if they're not going to be on Good News Update, send them in and we'll have Rebecca talk about them. It's really helpful. It's helpful to have those kinds of ideas. Yeah.
It just opened up a whole way of thinking about it for me that I'd never thought about. So, Well, I have some announcements, Sherry, before we get started with the show.
Okay.
Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy practice activities, guidance in the beauty and peace of the monastery grounds. A practice weekend is coming up August 18th through the 20th. Recording and listening training is a six-week conference call retreat for teaching six key skills, of learning six key skills of this valuable practice tool. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative, whether you are a new practitioner or an old-timer. Two new classes start August 28th and 30th. The process of fear is how our life energy is used up by ego to maintain the ego. Sherry and Ashwini are leading a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, September 1st through the 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and practice life's joy. I think there are only a couple of places left on that retreat. Our new center in the San Francisco Bay Area is open and has an exciting and full schedule of yoga, meditation, group discussions, and workshops. Check out the schedule at center.livingcompassion.org. And I believe we just opened up another group coaching around joyful eating and parenting with the mentor. So it just went up. So if you want to get more details, check the website.
All right. Gracious goodness, girl. You need some water.
I'm going to bring you live and bring the next, bring the first
before
caller
you die,
live. And then pop, into my handkerchief while I put myself on mute. All right. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine.
Hi. I am looking at, is there, if conditioning is, you know, if there's a story, and, so I'm seeing the story, is there, could there be truth in the story somewhere? So,
sure.
Something to look at, okay.
Sure. So there's a story in my head about every time I go, or every weekend I go over to my mother's house to eat dinner because I have to. I love my mother, but it's command performance or whatever that is. So I go, and every week she serves me what she is convinced is my favorite meal, and I don't like half of it. Now, is that a good story?
Well, that sounds okay. That sounds like that could be a real experience, not just a story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. But it's a story.
Oh, okay.
And they're all of the components. So I feel bad. I feel guilty. I dread going. I wish she wouldn't do that. I wish she'd listen to me when I tell her. I don't really like that. I don't want to hurt her feelings. And so I could spend hours. I could spend the second half of every week dreading it, and the first half of every week going over in my head how much I hated it. Okay, I get that story could get a lot of airtime. Is there truth in that? Well, what's truth? You know, I don't like whatever that is. I don't like to eat that. I'm not really sure why. And I'm certainly not going to go about finding out why or getting past that or realizing that who cares, this is my mother and I love my mother, right? I'm not going to do all of those practice things. I'm going to get stuck in, but this is really true. This is a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the story is essentially there's something wrong with me. So,
well, there is something wrong with us. We believe there's something wrong with us.
Oh, okay.
So if we want to, so I said that to somebody today in the email class. You know, it's that kind of people are paralyzed in fear of making a mistake. And I said, yeah, the only mistake that's possible is living in fear with ego and a story of making a mistake. Now, is that really a mistake? No, but if we were going to call something a mistake, that would certainly be a candidate.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the story is that I'm missing out in life. I'm not living life right. So when I record and listen, that doesn't seem to be true. I mean, what comes out of the recording and listening experience is that, getting present to what is it that I want my life to be, I am practicing that. So
yes. Well, okay. So, could it be
uh-huh. that I'm not living fully? You know what I mean. So there's a question in there of okay, but am I ignoring something here?
Well,
that no. maybe I ought to no. be going out and doing something else.
the thing is, again. You know, is there a mistake? Are you living life as fully as you could? Not if you're spending a lot of time in that kind of questioning.
Okay.
Because all that's noodling in conditioned
mind. Yeah.
Is noodling in conditioned mind living fully? No. Is it a problem? It's a problem if you don't want to be doing that. Now, if you said, well, you know, I like that. I like sitting on the couch and just thinking about all the things that are wrong with my life. I really enjoy that. I would say, well, knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you said, it's more possible for me, I would say, absolutely, it's more possible. But you have to want it.
Okay.
So as I say often, and it can sound judgmental, I understand that. It's not. It's just, I think we could file it under it's just so. Almost everybody wants their karma. They want to be, in quotes, who they are. They want to live inside a story in their head. They want to be identified with ego. They want the problems they have. They want to be right. They want to be right. Almost so that old, you know, would you rather be right or be happy? Those things become cliches because they're so commonplace. And almost everybody would rather be right than happy. Almost everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I want my karma.
Yes.
I mean, I think I fall into that category a lot.
Yes. Yes. You would not be the Lone Ranger there.
Yeah.
Because here's the place that we can go to with that. You know how not to do that.
I just don't know how life would be without it.
No. You know how not to do that.
Okay.
Right? And yet you choose to do it. That's pretty straightforward. Now, the difficulty is that then self-hate comes in and grabs people around the throat because that really makes you a bad, wrong person. Just to say, yes, I know how not to suffer, but I don't do that thing that would enable me not to suffer. So therefore, I must be choosing suffering. What an awful person I must be. Well, if we drop that, if we drop that part of the story, there's nothing that says a person has to want to end suffering. The only thing I think is important in that is if I'm choosing suffering, then not to feel sorry for myself when I'm suffering.
Yeah, kind of enjoy it.
Yes, yeah. This is what I'm choosing to do. I know I could do this other thing. I know I could drop the story. I could get out of the conversation. I could come back to the present. I'm not doing that. Therefore, we can conclude what I prefer is living in this egocentric karmic conditioning, and what's going to be a part of that is self-hatred and suffering. Most people, I don't think this is too extreme, most people would rather be, in quotes, me than not suffer.
Mm-hmm. So I'm asking this from a place that I'm feeling identified with, wanting my karma. So I'm kind of asking from that place. So if I decided not to choose to end suffering, there would be, okay, from where I am now, it's like, okay, well, then what would I do? You know, it looks like I don't.
Which is ego's first question.
Okay.
Well, what would happen to me?
Well, and what would happen to me, but also like, how would my day, what would my day look like? So I guess I just don't know.
Well, that's like saying, you know, I've wanted to go to Italy all of my life, but you know, I don't know what it would be like. So I think I won't go.
Okay.
I'll just keep wanting to go, but I'm not going to go because I just don't know what it would be like.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of silly, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. I think I'll go suffer some more, and thank you very much.
Okay, good. You're
okay.
Welcome.
Good night.
What a powerful conversation, Sherry. Thank you, Catherine. It's so up for us in practice right now. I was just writing about it in that Next Musings article, that it's so possible to move forward when we realize that that's what's going on, that I want to choose my karma and suffer over not suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of choosing karma and suffering is self-hatred. And
that's
so
right.
That,
and so
it's a package. is what I'm going to get. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to feel bad.
No hard feelings.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point, right? That's the place where we get stuck, which is that the self-hate, if we're not practicing going beyond suffering, then self-hatred is what we're left with. In other words,
yeah.
We should be. We know how to be
yeah.
different, and yet we're not going to do that. So what kind of a person
yeah.
are you?
Yep, yep, that's the story.
And that's the trap. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana calling from Michigan.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Dana.
Hi. I haven't called in a while. Unfortunately, my schedule has changed. I'm not able to listen to the show as much anymore, but I had today off, so I'm thrilled to be able to say hello and call in.
Oh, good. What's going on?
Oh, it's been a rough summer. I've had a lot of, I don't know if this is normal, probably is, where it seems like when I'm doing very well, it seems like after a while, it seems like maybe some issues have been worked through and I'm feeling peaceful and happy and everything's going well with my meditation practice, and then some content comes in and comes up and then everything just kind of crashes. And so
yep.
that's where I've been this summer. And so kind of on the down curve of that now, but also kind of still in a spot of despair because I feel like it's hard for me to get to a good point because I'm so afraid of crashing again and just getting to that.
Oh yeah, don't do that. Don't do that, okay? Yeah, because, let's see, what's the image? So here you are in school, and you take a class in, let's do Italian again. You take a class in Italian, and it's really hard, right? Learning a foreign language is really hard. But you're going along, and you're kind of getting it. You're kind of getting the feel of it, right? And then that class is over, and you go into fear and despair because you're going to have to take another class.
Mm, yes.
Yeah, so the emphasis gets put on you're going to have to go through learning something rather than look at what you're going to get, look at the transformation out the other side of that.
Yes.
And so if we see life as, first of all, there are a couple of things. One, I like to point out, there's nothing like happiness to set off self-hate.
Yeah.
Okay? Self-hate really hates a happy person, right? And so if we get that, then we're not going to be surprised. And we're not going to take it personally, and we're not going to be afraid of being happy. We just know that it's going to set off ego, right? And it's going to try to make trouble for us. So everything is going really well, and you're cruising along there. It's time then for another challenge, which is what life is. Because you're working through the suffering, right? You're working through the stories and the conditioning and the what we were just talking about with Catherine, right? You're
right.
Working through all of that. And so you get through, and there you are on a little plateau, and it's just great because everything is just it's great, right? Well, life then says, okay, well, Dana's ready for the next one, and here it comes. And if we see it, if we see it as our as a reward, you've cleaned up that mess.
Wow.
Now
yeah.
It's time to clean up another mess. Not a punishment. It's actually a statement that you're doing really well. You're ready for biology too.
Right. I just hope that, and I've been doing this for so long that things just, I wouldn't reach the low point that I've reached before. You just kind of always hope that the next down period won't be as bad, as ones you've had before.
And here's the thing that you can know about that. They will be as bad as long as you dread them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. As soon as it doesn't matter to you, It's you know, you're on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're the way up at the top and then down. And people go on roller coasters, you know, so that they can have that whoosh down experience.
Right.
Right? And mm-hmm. But if you dreaded that, then it would be an awful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's all just part of it, there sometimes there's up, sometimes there's down, sometimes everything feels really easy, sometimes it feels really hard. If you become interested in how that happens rather than wanting to avoid it, it'll change the whole thing for you.
Wow.
Because
yeah,
those times are really, really interesting. For instance, this thing that, you know, given a history of what back in the day was called manic depressive, now bipolar, you know, I too, well, I don't know. Some people don't like the manic. I always did. It was the depressive that I wasn't excited about, right? And realizing how much there is in that state to see, and also getting that nothing has changed in my life except the amount of energy that is available in any given moment.
Okay.
And when there's a lot of the energy that I like, it's called I'm having a good time. And
mm-hmm.
when there's a lot of the energy that I've been conditioned not to like, then it's called I'm not having a good time. But if
okay.
I just get interested in the energy and how that works, our whole relationship with it changes.
Wow. If I could ask, like, okay, so say you're avoiding something that you know is going to cause a lot of anxiety at the same time wanting to be gentle and supportive of myself. Like, is there... I'm assuming there's kind of a fine line of things between enabling your fears and also, you know, or just being too harsh on yourself and forcing yourself to do something that you are truly afraid of. You know, maybe self-hate, saying you're such a coward because you're not doing that. Like, where can you find that line?
Right. Well, excuse me. And of course, what you're describing is what happens to life when it gets pulled into ego's world of duality, right? So you either have to avoid it or just throw yourself into it. Those are your two choices. And what you're looking for is that compassionate place in between. So this is where I like to use the image of a child. So, you know, you have a six-year-old who is going to have to go to first grade and is terrified. I mean, you don't say, well, it's okay, you just stay home. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't need all that school stuff anyway. And you don't just, you know, drive up, open the car door, throw the kid out, and drive off, right? And so how would you be with that child to get through that fear and anxiety and get comfortable and get confident and be successful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, in the fear book, we lay that out pretty, you know, step by step by step. I don't know if you've read it, our fear book. But,
yes.
Yeah. And so it's step by step by step by step, and that's how you'll be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're going to move into the Buddha place, right? You're going to move into the conscious, compassionate awareness. You're not going to be the frightened, anxious little person who doesn't know how to do this and just wants to put her head under the pillow. Right,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna become conscious, compassionate, awareness, and you're gonna help that human being face a frightening, anxiety-producing situation step by step by step by step by step until she goes through it, and she's comfortable and she's confident, and eventually she's facing more and more and more of those situations until she gets it that she's not alone and there's nothing that she can't face and get through successfully.
Okay. Thank you so
and you'll
much.
Let me know, right?
Yeah.
Let me
yeah.
know how it goes.
Yeah.
Very good.
I
appreciate that. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Dana.
Good night.
Thank you.
And I hope you'll join us in Bethlehem, Dana, because we
yeah.
do exactly that specific piece of content in your life.
Oh, my gosh, Ashwini, that's really true. We're going to be right in the neighborhood. Well, practically, I mean, comparatively speaking.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that there was so much in that call, Sherry, but that one place where you were pointing out that part of what we get to do in practice is to be with how life is rather than how life should be. And yeah. that growing yeah. realization that life is a roller coaster where we have no ability to control the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. We can't avoid them. We can't wish them away. We can't hope that they don't happen. They just do. And that doesn't mean anything about me. Then we have the ability to learn how to be with that compassion that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's like this and sometimes it's like that. It doesn't yeah. mean anything. That's the essential piece, right? Nothing means anything. It doesn't mean anything about me, about you, about them, about that, about it. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. All that meaning is in conditioned mind, and we just have to learn not to take it on.
Yes, and it's the meaning that causes the requirement to avoid something, right? Because that's something that I can't stand. And yet, when we are with it, we really recognize how much capacity we have to be with it, just to simply be with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I, in that facilitation, was attempting to see if I could play our ads and our sponsor ads, but clearly that wasn't working. So I'm going to bring someone else on, Sherry, unless you want to take a couple of seconds of
thought. No, that's good.
There we go.
Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jill.
Hi there. I just love that last little conversation, and it just made me think about my day in such an interesting way, which is, some of the things that I encountered just...
Whoa, Jill. Did we lose Jill, Ashwini?
You know, totally. Like, oh, hello?
Oh, wait, Jill. Yeah, there was quite a blip. Made you think about your day. That was the last I heard. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It made me think about my day a little bit differently, which was, you know, there were some things that I encountered that I felt like, wow, this is a huge victory, and like, you know, conditioning used to really nail me over this, and, you know, I wasn't thinking that at the time. I was just, when I was reflecting on the day just a few moments ago, like, it occurred to me, and then there were some things that were just like, wow, like, I really got caught up for a moment there, and I just really was marveling at sort of what you guys were talking about, which is just the ebb and flow, you know. Sometimes in like the moment by moment of it, it's like all of a sudden it's like smooth sailing and I just feel like totally in step with life, and then it's like blammo, like this little thing knocks me a little bit, and then you're like sort of dazed, and then it's like then you get caught back up by life, and then you're flying along. I mean, it was just really one of those days where, there was just a lot of different, I don't know if it was different content, but I don't know. I just had a lot of different
flavors.
Experiences, different
yeah.
flavors today, where I think I was yeah. like 10 different people today. It was just like, you know, I'm absolutely marveling at that experience is available. And sort of like has been said, you know, it's, what you said something a week ago or something. It was like nothing is fine, but everyone is okay. And I don't know. That just sort of stuck with me, and I was thinking about that in reference to a couple things that I had to, bump up against. It's all part of it. It's all, you know.
Yes,
the. Go ahead.
Well, if ego, that, you know, the voice in the head, isn't back there assessing everything.
Right.
Right? Judging and comparing and how did you do and what does that mean and how does it and what and you didn't and you did. And if we go through the day in the way that you're you know, the way you're making it sound, which is, sounds like it's the way it was, that you're just zooming along, right?
Yep.
And life is just happening. And you, afterwards, when you look at it, you sit down and these various little snapshots or scenarios drop in, and you can get a sense of what was going on there. But still, there's no judgment about it.
Right.
It's just really interesting how this day unfolded and how you got to participate in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It just
Whereas if ego were there on your shoulder, you know, just doing that finger pointing thing all day long, it would have been miserable. And at the end of the day, you would have gotten a very bad report card.
Right. Yeah. Well, it just, I mean, I, you know, before practice, I feel like I used to have to spend a lot of time, like, just obsessing about something that had happened and just sort of, like, chewing it over, like, what, looking for the answer, I guess, in conditioned mind. So sort of like you were saying in an early conversation, like, you know, it's, if we go there, it's sort of like, if you go to conditioning, like, you're always going to get suffering. That's the through line with story.
So did I do something wrong there? Yes, you did. Was that a mistake? Yes, it was. Should I have done
exactly.
something different? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to somebody who hates you, and you're not going to get uplifting information.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like always eating the strawberry that you're allergic to. It's like, I really want to taste that strawberry. I want that strawberry experience. It's like, well, sorry, it cannot be separated from the fact that it, like, makes you break out in hives. It's like they're one and the same. It's one thing. So, you know, make your choice. Make your choice.
Yes.
And
that's what it comes down to. Right? That's back to the first conversation. It's a choice. And it's not because in the world of ego duality, one is the right choice, one is the wrong, one is a good person, one is a bad person. No. If we take all of that out, if we, back to the classroom thing, you know, you go to college. You pay to go to college, right? I mean, somebody pays anyway for you to go to college. Now, you can go to classes or not. You can learn something or not. You can just kind of slide by for the bare minimum, or you can throw yourself into it wholeheartedly and get as much as you can. The choice is ours, always.
Right.
Now, even presenting it that way, you know, in most people's minds, it's like, well, okay, that's the good person way, and that's the bad. No, it's a choice. We can do this any way we want to do it.
Yeah.
Are there ramifications? Yes. Are there consequences? You betcha. But that's not the same as one is a right choice and one is a wrong choice.
Yes, and also thinking about all of the practice opportunities and how they all seem designed to help us or help me, or that's my experience, see, like, when am I making that choice? Like, where is that choice in this? Because sometimes I sort of come to and I'm like, oh, wow, I made a suffering choice. And, you know, how did that happen? You know? And so I didn't even notice. And so a lot of this is really, it feels like designed to help me see, okay, well, where did that decision, it felt like the right decision, you know? I guess in some ways it is, because it helps you see over and over, like, this is how suffering is created, over and over.
Yeah. And so that's available for anybody who wants to see that, who wants to know that. It's not a should.
Right.
That's what I love about what the Buddha taught. We can suffer for as long as we want to suffer, and we can stop anytime we choose to.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Amazing.
I mean, that's extraordinary.
Right.
There's no, you know, you do it the right way or you're going to go to hell. I mean, maybe that's true. That could be true. But it's not what the Buddha taught. And so I like that version.
Yeah. That would be an interesting surprise end.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
That's very funny. Joke on us. Yeah. I know, joke on us. Well, I'm willing. I'll have a good laugh. I'll have a good laugh if that's the end. Anyway, right. Well, it's been nice to talk to you.
Great to talk with you. See you soon, I think. Is that
see
true?
You soon. Yes, indeed.
I love it. All right.
Yes, indeed.
Take
all
care,
right.
Good
you
night.
Too. So, good night. Good night, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jill. Take care. I love it too, Sherry, that we have a choice. We're here to learn. And if we can have a good laugh when we come to, oh boy, does it make it all worthwhile.
Yeah. 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 It doesn't feel
get
bad
to do
about
this how
I got bamboozled.
Yeah.
Good well, on, good on love, you, conditioning.
Yeah. Well, I love that place of coming to learn the truth. Not to learn what's right. Like the truth can never be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just interesting that the whole journey is not to look at life from the lens of the dualistic perspective of right and wrong, but just to be here for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Paying attention, seeing, learning, letting go. Yeah, getting happier.
Getting happier, yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Is it the end of the show already?
Pretty close.
Did you sneak through early? What are you up to?
I think I'm wondering if I'm close in kind of the topic tonight is the first arrow and the second arrow. The first arrow is inevitable.
Uh-huh.
The second arrow is the one that we can work with.
I see. I've never heard that. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Can you say a little more about that?
I thought it was a Buddhist story. Like something
well,
Buddhist
it might be.
Said.
I don't claim to know all Buddhist stories. In fact, I'm proud to announce that usually in any occasion that where I'm talking with a group of people, they know more about Buddhism than I do. So
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I've gotten used to that.
Yeah.
Which means I learn, learn when they speak.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But just that in life, suffering happens. Things happen. There's no control over that.
Right.
What we do have a place of interaction is with the second arrow, which is the experience. Like I remember in North Carolina, you were talking about the experience and the experiencer. Like the person who's talking about having a car accident isn't the same one who had the car accident.
Yeah. Okay. I'm right. I'm with you. I'm catching up. Yeah. 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 So, kind of in the way we've been talking about it earlier. So there's what happens in life, and then there's the story about what happens in life, right? I
and
can't do anything about what happened.
Having a hard time right now. I mean,
say it again.
Pretty much everybody's having a hard time right now with major things.
I have noticed that myself. Yeah.
And I what I want to look at is the privileged environment.
Uh-huh.
I just I'm going through loss again.
Mm.
And, there's this person who's really grieving. And it's touching in all the grief. You know, it's not just what's happening right now. It's like goes back to all these different points in my life. And it's the same thing. And I've been here before. And what I have been doing is practicing the privileged environment. And as I'm walking around in the world, I'm here to do my work. I'm not here to do anybody else's work. I'm not looking to anybody else to fix me, to fill, you know, to connect.
To connect? Can you give me a synonym for connect?
Trust. It's just really, trust. Trust. And I haven't actually used my mouth yet today, and this is the first time I've spoken today. It's just, you know, I worked in empty houses and didn't stop anywhere, and so things are coming up that I thought I had a better control over. But I noticed, you know, just kind of like, whatever is going on with me, I'm not giving it to anybody else.
You're not putting it on anybody else.
I'm trying. I make that my intention.
Yeah. So it's not that you're trying to isolate from people. It's just that you don't want to you don't want what's going on with you to spill out and get on them.
Kind of recognizing that every person can live up to their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't need to take care of them. They don't need to take care of me.
Yes. Although we can be in compassionate acceptance together.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of compassion.
Pardon me?
Yeah, compassion's a missing piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hearing you say that, I can see that I have not been compassionate with myself.
Yeah. So often when we start getting rules, you know, even if they sound like, you know, they have a nice, say for us, a nice Buddhist tone
mm-hmm.
to them. You know, everyone is equal to their life experience. I don't need to take care of them. They don't need to take. I mean, that can kind of have a working out your own salvation diligently feel to it. And then we, you know, if when we hear that, we can also hear a little tinge of, to hell with everybody. With it.
There is a pseudo zen to it, and you're right. I do isolate myself. Like a choking person walking away from help.
Yeah.
And that looks like the privileged environment, but it's not.
Right. No. 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 And we know egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, will use anything against us, right? So privileged environment.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Then that's let's talk about that and isolate her so that, you know, she's off there by herself, on her own, no support, and that'll be that'll be presented as a good Buddhist way to be. Responsible for herself. Yes, indeed.
And you know that I have ALS, which is a tripod disease, and I'm getting to the point where I can't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what a great place to... What a great time to isolate a person. Yeah,
particularly, you know, 3 a.m., you know, just, I'm going to die alone. I'm going to.
Yeah. lest we ever think that ego is on our side. Okay? Yeah.
Yes, and it does seem that ego continually, I mean, it's the same thing. I'm going through the same thing over and over again. I'm continually doing the same work. But the face of ego, it keeps changing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Beth, it can, but Ashwini and I have actually been talking a lot lately about revisiting or, you know, getting more back into the language. Without a change of behavior, there's not a change in consciousness. So what happens, of course, with people is, you know, there's an insight about something. There's awareness about something. And people are, you know, could be really happy and excited about that awareness and talk about it. You know, I saw this and it was great, and then, yeah, this and that, and then just go right back to being the same way. So none of the behaviors change, and an insight can just not stand up against the behaviors of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So when we have an insight, we need to do something that supports that insight.
Huh.
So if you realize that what's lacking, the place that ego pulls you into constantly is isolation, a lack of compassion and isolation, then those are the behaviors to change. Because without a concerted effort to change those behaviors, we just slide back into the same story, same viewpoint, same beliefs, same assumptions. Oops, there I am again in the same place. And people will report a lifetime of that. You know, just the same place over and over and over. And of course, the voice is saying, what is the matter with you? My God, how many times do you have to have this experience? Well, we'll have it until there's the change in behavior that maintains the change in consciousness.
There are a lot of things that have fallen away that are
gone. But a lack of compassion and isolation are not two of them.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. And if you look at it, it could be very, it just might be the case with some of those things that have fallen away. They fit very nicely in the isolation, lack of compassion framework.
I don't get that.
Well, for instance, if lack of compassion and isolation is the, you know, the ego story for me, then I will let go of my need for people. I will sacrifice my desire for connection. I will not indulge my impulse to help other people. I give up, you know, I mean, I'm just letting go of things right and left. But when I look at them, they seem to be perhaps in service to those very perspectives that are keeping me isolated and without compassion.
Service has always been my way out.
Yes. But if that also serves to keep Beth isolated and outside the circle of compassion, then the exit is once more a sign over the door that's actually the entrance.
Yes. It's the, you don't have to walk 10 miles on your hands and knees. Just let the soft animal belly love what it loves.
Yes.
I had a thought or something. I'm really afraid.
Pardon me?
I'm really afraid.
Yeah.
It's like in, underneath all of this, I'm just really afraid.
Yeah.
And it's my sixth pattern. Like when I come, if somebody betrays me, that's it. We're done. And I will walk away.
Well, keep in mind.
It's killing me.
Keep in mind, Beth, the betrayal is happening in egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yes.
That's
when I
always
see my sickness,
what's betraying us.
That's just the surface.
Yeah. That's right. And so it's going to set it up, and I think we're seeing a little theme here tonight. It's going to set it up that everybody who could be with you and could bring a measure of compassion into your life is somehow going to be a betrayer who must be cast out, leaving you once again in that same place.
So I'll cast myself out before that can happen.
Yes, it'll cast you out, as it always does. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You got something to work
on? Compassion.
Yep. Let's add in the compassion. Forget
yes,
the privileged environment.
Thank you.
Go,
I love you.
Yeah, go for the compassion. Yes, please. Thank you. I love you. Good night.
Good night, Sherry.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night, Beth. Sherry, we have about 4 minutes. Should you want to try another caller?
Yeah, let's try it. We're
next
we're
caller,
brave
you're now live on
soul.
The air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, he's up for speaking.
Oh, hey, Sota. How are you?
Fine. Oh, my God. All that I wanted to ask about my practice was covered in the previous calls. So perfect.
Well, isn't that handy?
It's fantastic.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
You want to recap it for us? You want to recap it? A couple of sentences?
Oh, can I ask you something else super, super quickly instead?
Sure.
Can you give me a quick guideline about how to look at the $500 goal for the team in the bridge walk thing? Like, not to be bamboozled by the number, but not to dismiss it either, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, right. And that's what we're always going for, right? So you know with something like this, and it was referred to earlier, you know, everything in practice gives us an opportunity to see what conditioning is doing and how we're made to suffer, right? So there's this goal and you see that number, and then conditioned mind takes off, right? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And it's got tons to say about it. And so you can just watch all of that. Just listen to what it says. Notice how you feel when it says those things. Notice when you believe it. Notice when you can just step back and watch it and see it for what it is. Just it's a little workshop, right? And then as you're going along and as you're looking at all that, something's going to drop in for you. Something's going to drop in that's going to bring you to a place of clarity about how you choose to participate.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is what
isn't that the way it works?
This is the way it works.
Yeah.
I didn't connect the watching with the dropping in, you know? So now I know.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to make an effort for something to drop in. And I don't have to push the blah, blah, blah away. Just watch
That's
it.
Exactly right.
And see
don't
what happens.
Believe
Fantastic.
It. Yep. Good. Well, I'm glad we got to talk.
I'm glad too. Big shout out to everyone.
Yeah, show to you, Isota. Bye bye.
Thanks, Isota. Thanks, Sherry. That brings us to the end of another magnificent show. Deep Gesha.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini, for filling in for Michael. Very gracious of you. And let's see, I'll talk to you in the morning.
I will. Thank you. Yes, right. On Project Joy, right. We could get to say good morning, and now it's good evening, good night, and
yeah,
thank you.
And I feel like Truman.
Yes.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.